Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we're going to read the chapter through from verse 1. Let's hear the Lord's word. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, saying, the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up upon the breadth of the camp of the saints about, breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I must say that I've really fallen in love with this promise in Revelation 3 verse 10, where the Lord said to the church at Philadelphia, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. We have to place ourselves in
the keeping power of the Lord. And just as the Lord hangs the earth upon nothing and keeps it by the word of his power, every Christian is daily being kept. Kept by his grace, kept by his watch care over us, and he gives us the Holy Spirit that we might find strength and grace for every challenge. And so I trust that in these difficult times, that the Lord in his loving kindness will minister to your heart. We are turning to Revelation chapter 20, a chapter on defeating the devil.
In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray that thou will draw near to us and help us in the ministry of your word, especially this chapter of Revelation, that you will give us an understanding heart, and that we will take great comfort that the Lord is on the throne and that you have a marvelous final plan for your church. We also pray for the nations of this world that need the Lord. And we pray for good government in our nations. We even pray for the British government at this time that they will be led aright and that stable, good decisions will be made for the glory of your name and for your blessing upon that nation. We ask for our government here in Canada as well. Lord, you know all the tensions and all the rivalry. We ask, O God, that thou give us leadership in this country that have earned the trust of the people and that lead us in a path of godliness. We pray for your favor and your blessing upon this nation, for the preaching of the gospel, and for the honor of Christ Jesus in his church. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. If Patrick was alive today, he would be a Free Presbyterian. That, I believe, is right. If I understand his convictions, if I understand his preaching, if I understand what he stood for. And the history of Patrick, of course, is being taken over by the nationalist Catholic Republican identity in Ireland today. There are two big events, two big colors. One is green and the other is orange. And the green is March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And of course, the very fact that they have given Patrick a sainthood puts a whole question upon what they're doing with this man. Now, the few writings of Patrick tell us that he was called of God to be a missionary, a preacher in Ireland, somewhere in the 400s. He was most likely born in Scotland. He was taken firstly as a slave to Ireland, where he escaped later, and then heard the call of the Irish to come and be a missionary in that country, which he did. And God wonderfully blessed his preaching to those people. And that was the introduction of Christianity to pagan people. There are many accounts of Patrick before the King of Ireland using the shamrock as a demonstration of the Trinity. Now, you tell me your symbol or example of the Trinity. And there are none of them perfect. But the shamrock gives us the three leaves, or the three-leaf shamrock does, and this was his way of introducing Druids and pagans to the message of Christianity. Now, what we learn from his writings is not really so much what he believed, but what he never mentioned. There is no mention of the Pope, no mention of Mary worship, no mention of the Mass, no mention of all those things that Roman Catholics claim he is their patron saint. All of those things are absent. What we find is an evangelical message preaching the simplicity of Christ to people in very plain terms. His manner of preaching and his manner of forming churches would-be Presbyterian. He called them elders. He referred to them in the plural. And so he took from the Bible the New Testament method of planting churches. And something like 300 churches were planted during his lifetime. And God did a great work. Through that vision and that ministry of Patrick, Ireland became known as the land of saints and scholars. Now, there's a long history to that. When the Vandals were invading the libraries of Europe, such as Italy, and destroying the books, there were mariners from the coast of Ireland who took many of those books that had been thrown away, and they preserved them. They brought them back, and they retrieved them and archived them. And so Ireland got the name of being the land of saints and scholars. Now, Patrick has also been stated as the reason why there are no snakes in Ireland. And that's true. There are no snakes in Ireland. Now, there's many other critters, but there are no snakes. And there is a mythical legend that Patrick is the one who took them by the tail and flung them into the Atlantic Ocean, and that was the end of them. Well, he didn't really throw out serpents, but he did preach against the devil. And we wish he had done a perfect job in Ireland of casting the devil out. Now, that brings us to our message tonight in Revelation chapter 20, because here we learn about casting the devil out. And this is God's word and God's truth, and we're coming to these wonderful statements that the devil is going to be cast out. Let's read first three verses. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he let hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Now, no wonder the devil hates the Bible. If this was my name in the Bible and I was reading things about me like this, I wouldn't want people reading the Bible either. And so the devil knows that he is to be cast out and to be defeated. He also knows that he's to be given a little time to persecute the church within the nations. And you'll read of that there in verse 3. He shall be loosed a little season. That's at the end of verse 3. And then in verse 7 again, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, when he is cast out, when he seeks to come against the people of God, he will encircle the beloved city. Look at verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And it is after that that he is cast out into the lake of fire and brimstone. So it's not an encouraging end in view for the prince of darkness. He has a lot to fear, and he knows it. And neither is it a good time for those who follow and are deceived by this Satan, this devil, or this dragon, because they too who follow him will be cast out into the very same place. And you read about that white throne, verses 11 and 12, and the judgment day, and those things will take place, and the wicked will be cast out. Now, the message is, don't join the devil's crowd. Don't follow the devil, for he is doomed, he's damned, and he shall be tormented for all eternity. Back in verse 2, we're given four names for the devil. He is called the dragon, the serpent, the devil, and Satan. These are four titles that are given to him. And these four titles reveal something of the dark works of this enemy of our souls. And we learn from these titles never to underestimate the devil, never to make him a plaything, never to underestimate what he is set on doing. And we know from the Word of God and from this book of Revelation that he is set to destroy the image of Christ in his church, in the Lord's church, and to bring down every Christian if he possibly can. Now, without Christ, our mighty Savior, to defeat Satan, we would be lost. And remember that every soul born into this world is born into the kingdom of darkness. You and I also were born into Satan's kingdom. We have nothing to boast about. And in our weakness, we were entrapped and we were held in the powers of darkness. And therefore, as Christians, we are rejoicing. We are delighting in the deliverance that we now enjoy, that we are brought out of the clutches of the devil and that we are the Lord's and serving him. And this is the whole theme of the book of Revelation. Christ coming to deliver his people, to deliver us from the works and the powers of darkness. Now, I want us to cover those four titles again and just emphasize this a little bit more. Firstly, the dragon. He is referred to there in verse 2 as the dragon. That Bible name comes from some kind of a creature like a sea monster, ferocious, ugly, terror-filling sea monster. And a beast that you might want to go to the zoo and see it behind bars, but you never want to be in the same pen with. You'd never want to be in proximity to this evil, awful monster. Satan is ferocious, and we've got to realize just how cruel, vicious he is. The other name that's given is serpent. That's a snake, sly and cunning. And of course, in the history of the Bible, we see this coming up. He deceives, he tricks, he tempts, and he taunts people as the serpent. He cannot be trusted. He is the wily trickster that will outsmart every one of us here if we are in his arena. Then the name devil, diabolos in the Greek, means slanderer. He is the slanderer. So he mocks and he seeks to poke seeming fun to bring shame and disgrace to God's people. He is a born liar and he accuses the children of God. He's the accuser. And that's his constant work. And every time that you might disappoint the Lord, the accuser comes. Every time you feel, the accuser comes. How could you be a Christian? What kind of a saint are you? How could you be a disciple of the Lord Jesus after what you've done, said, or thought? And the accuser is constantly there to attack and undermine the confidence of the Christian. And then we have the devil, we have Satan, and that's really in the same arena as the devil. Now think of how Satan tempted the Lord Jesus. What a daring feat to take on. After the baptism of Christ, he was immediately led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And there was the devil, and he came with all his works and forces, all his lies and deceits, all his false promises to try and bring down the Lord Jesus. And we know that tempter deceives. He himself is able to translate himself into an angel of light. That's how far he will go, that he might be effective against the church of the Lord Jesus. And we're warned in passages like 2 Thessalonians 2 of this evil worker who is constantly spewing forth his lies to deceive the people of God. And so when you think of the false philosophies of the world and the worldly thinking and mentality of humanism, there is the devil in the background promoting those lies and those deceits to destroy the souls of men. Now, that's the world that you and I have been born into. We didn't choose the world we were born into. Here we are, created by God, born of our parents, born into a world where Satan seeks to be the god of this world, controlling and deceiving and destroying souls. And that's also the world that the church is called upon to witness for Christ. It's hard. Everything's contrary to grace. This world is no friend of grace. This is a world that opposes truth and opposes the light and seeks to shine horrible things on the name of Jesus, all to take souls away to destruction. How shall the gospel prevail? Well, what we're interested in tonight is this binding of Satan. We're told here that this Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Now, what we're going to look at tonight, we're going to do this very simply. First question is, in what sense is he bound? In what sense is the devil bound? Well, firstly, we know that the devil is not dead, not yet. The devil is not dead. He's very much alive. We know that he's still not in hell because that's future. Whatever the timing here, he's going to be bound this 1,000 years. Then he's going to be loosed, and then he's going to be cast out. So in what sense is he bound? Well, he's not dead, and he's not yet in hell. And we know that he still causes problems for the church in this world. He is still a deceiver. He's still got powers to attack and to assail the people of God and prevent the salvation of sinners. Now, the classic illustration of the binding of Satan used by many preachers, I use it tonight, and that is the example of a vicious dog. And if you imagine that in your backyard, you have an area, we'll call it a dog patch, where you have your dog tied up on a chain. And that brute, I will call him, no one dare go near. He's there to raise the alarm. He's there to protect your home. But dare anybody come into his semicircle where that chain, he can reach him. And that beast is vicious. He is cruel, and if he gets an opportunity, that bark will be turned into a bite, and he'll draw blood, and he will feast on his enemy. But he's on a chain. He is restrained. He is bound. Now, we're told in 1 Peter 5:8 that the devil goes about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he had his way, the devil would devour everything, you and me included. The church could not exist on the earth if the devil had his way. If he was given full freedom to have his vicious, cruel way with the church, he would destroy it very, very swiftly. And we learn, therefore, that the devil is restrained. When you go back to the story of Job, you learn, of course, that Satan wanted permission to attack Job. But he did need permission. He did have to ask for every detail of his attacks against Job and his family. And some horrible things were done by the power of Satan against Job, but Job's life was spared. He could not touch his life. And the testimony of Job was intact at the end. And so the devil did not destroy Job and his testimony, but God was there to reign in the devil. Now, Satan has always been subject to God's will, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, or whenever. Satan has always been subject to God's will. He could not do anything without God's permission.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. And isn't it a wonderful thing to know that the devil will lose his power? He will be cast out. All his clever and his wicked machinations against the church, against the people of God, are going to be ended. And the Lord will bring about a new heaven, a new earth, where there will be no Satan. He shall be in the lake of fire for all eternity, and we shall enjoy the presence of the Lord with no interruptions, no curse, no pain, no sorrows, and we will have complete, absolute victory with God. Now, we recognize that this world is going through a time of terrible suffering. This coronavirus has changed our world in this generation. It has brought about havoc and ruin and wreckage, and we are now going to be struggling to get back to a place of normality. And this is the world of the curse. And we have been warned by the Lord that in the world we will have tribulations, there will be floods, earthquakes, and pestilence, but the end is not yet. And God uses these things to call people out of their self-confidence and their pride to turn to Him. And we need to pray that God, by His Spirit, will call men to faith in the Lord Jesus, humble their pride, and lead them to true faith in the Son of God. Let's unite in prayer and ask for that. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can bring our burdens to Thee, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for us. We ask that You will minister in these days in great power. Send the Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of men from sin, from self, to Christ and the cross. We pray for many conversions, that many will be born of the Spirit. And so we pray Thee to minister to hearts just now as we bring this program to a close. O Lord, speak on and be glorified through Your word, through this message today. We ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.